It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. My co-host, Veronica Rickert, will be back tomorrow. Coming up later in the program, the American Academy of Pediatrics just released a new policy statement in favor of starting the school day later for teens. We'll talk to the children's sleep expert behind the new policy. First, oral arguments took place today in a federal appeals court over Wisconsin's same-sex marriage law. The state is appealing a federal judge's June decision overturning that marriage ban. WPR state government reporter Sean Johnson is in Chicago at the Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, where the hearing took place. He joins us now to discuss what happened in those oral arguments. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So a quick background, how do we get here?
How did we get here? Well, I guess you could go way back to 2006 when the Wisconsin legislature put an item on the ballot banning gay marriage. The voters supported it. More recently, the ACLU filed a federal lawsuit challenging the ban, saying that it violated gay couples' rights to equal protection. And, you know, their U.S. constitutional rights. They prevailed in U.S. District Court in early June. Judge Barbara Crabb ruled that the ban was indeed unconstitutional. There was about a week there where gay couples were getting married before Crabb stayed her ruling pending this appeal. And so that's what brought us here today. Wisconsin's case was before a three-judge panel at the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. And they were joined by Indiana, plaintiffs from Indiana, and attorneys for the state of Indiana defending that state's gay marriage ban. It was also recently struck down in district court and is up for appeal.
So at these oral arguments, you had representatives of both states and of the plaintiffs in both cases. Is that right?
Yeah, you did. So for Wisconsin, you had a deputy an assistant attorney general. You had a solicitor general from Indiana, both making similar arguments. If you were expecting it to be, if it went as the schedule said it would go, you'd have sort of this many minutes for the plaintiff's attorney, this many minutes for the defendant's attorney. They both make their cases. It's just not the way it went. I mean, we're about a minute into arguments before Judge Posner, who is a Reagan appointee to the bench, just ripped in to the Indiana attorney and really began questioning, you know, what was the rational basis for laws that ban gay marriage. Did the same thing with Wisconsin's assistant attorney general over and over again, pressing him, saying, what is the rational basis for this law? Who is it helping? And in fact, isn't it hurting gay couples? And in particular, Posner was, very clearly swayed by the argument that banning gay marriage hurts children of loving gay parents who can't get married.
Right. And a lot of times in these oral arguments, we're kind of trying to look for these really subtle signs. It sounds like there were giant billboards in this.
It was amazing. I mean, you're exactly right. You're looking for anything in oral arguments. You're looking for a hint. And attorneys always caution you, don't read too much into what judges say in oral arguments. They're there to be the, you know, kind of devil's advocate. They're there to pick apart what they see as the weakest part of an attorney's argument. That doesn't necessarily mean that they think the entire argument is weak. But Posner was just relentless. I mean, he came back to the same points over and over again. Visually, I mean, there are no cameras in the courtroom, so you can't exactly say, go watch his facial expressions, but he was clearly unimpressed by the arguments from the assistant attorney general from Wisconsin and Indiana's solicitor general. He was annoyed. He kept telling them, give me a basis for why you have this law, and their reasons that, it was to uphold tradition, the tradition of marriage, or that it was, to encourage raising children in married families. Those just didn't set well with Posner, and he really wanted to press this point of what about these gay couples who want to wed? What about their children? Aren't they better off? And why are you stopping that?
Now, that's the one Republican appointee alongside two Democratic appointees. As you pointed out, questions during oral arguments are not the decision. But
yes,
tea leaf readers looking at those questions are probably thinking this suggests that the judges are going to rule against the states, against the same-sex marriage bans.
Yeah, if you're gonna read tea leaves, I mean, it seems like this would be a case to do it. And again, attorneys for the plaintiffs, they said good questions were asked, but they wouldn't come out and say, well, obviously, we won this one. But if you look at the way court decisions have been coming down recently, especially since the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, I think plaintiffs feel like it's just a matter of time before they're ultimately victorious in, you know, striking down laws like Wisconsin's or Indiana's, you know, whether they were added to the Constitution by voters as they were here in Wisconsin or whether they're added to the statutes by the legislature as they were in Indiana. You know, plaintiffs feel like this is just the way that the legal system is going, and I imagine that they will point to, you know, arguments today in front of Judge Posner in particular, and, you know, presumably Judge Posner will make some of the same points whenever that panel issues a written decision.
So that's the action inside the courthouse. I understand that before the hearing there were rallies outside. Who was there? What was going on?
Yeah, you had plaintiffs from the Indiana and Wisconsin cases arrived in Chicago last night, and they rallied outside the federal courthouse. The ACLU, you know, I'm much more familiar with the Wisconsin case, but, you know, they obviously picked their plaintiffs very carefully. They are people who can point to tangible situations where, you know, they've been in a dedicated relationship for a number of years, and because they can't, you know, legally call themselves a married couple in Wisconsin, they've been denied some benefit or another, or they've had some hardship to deal with. And, you know, for example, there were parents there. You know, if you are gay parents in Wisconsin, you can't both be legally considered parents. I mean, you can get many legal protections, but one of the parents is not going to be considered the same in the eyes of the law. So examples like that, I mean, they tried to find plaintiffs like that, and they showed up in Chicago last night to tell their story.
Looking ahead, whichever way the court rules, do you think either side would look at appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court?
Yeah, I think a lot depends. I mean, Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen has been pretty consistent on this. He's given every indication that he is going to defend this law, you know, as long as it takes. This is something that he supports, and Van Hollen has said that he's constitutionally obligated to support it since it was added to the Constitution by the voters of Wisconsin. So, you know, you would presume that if this court were to rule against Wisconsin's gay marriage ban, Van Hollen would, you know, consider appealing it to the U.S. Supreme Court. Of course,
we have an election
coming up, right? And so we don't know who our next attorney general is going to be. If it's Waukesha County District Attorney Brad Schimmel, Republican, you know, perhaps he would share Van Hollen's views. If it's Jefferson County District Attorney Susan Happ, probably she would drop any appeal.
And then does the governor's office have an opportunity to lawyer up if the attorney general doesn't do that?
He would have that opportunity.
Assuming we have the same governor, of course.
Yeah, I mean, he's been just very much in step with Attorney General Van Hollen on this so far. I mean, the arguments that they're making are, you know, they really mirror each other. They're saying that they're obligated to do this, although, you know, they would, you know, now that they've fought at the district court level and the appeals court level, there's nothing that ties their hands to say we have to appeal this to a higher court.
Before we let you go, Sean, a timeline on this appeals court for a ruling?
Yeah, the federal court system kind of operates under its own schedule. And, you know, attorneys in these cases said the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals can move very quickly when it wants to. In this situation, they have an incentive to move quickly because they have cases like this moving forward all throughout the country. And, you know, if this is going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, they probably want it to all arrive at about the same time. But they're not under any timeline, and they didn't give us any indication of when they might rule.
Sean, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR state government reporter, joining us from that Court of Appeals in Chicago.